This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Tech Talk, and we are underway on a gorgeous Saturday in August. How about this weather? Just beautiful. Maybe a little breezy, but other than that, sunny, 71. Our dew point, 50. Here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Great day to maybe be outside if you're looking at your laptop. By all means, we have you covered today. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. And here it is, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. So computer problems, hardware, software, by all means, give us a call. Doug, good to visit with you last week. We're at Joe Mauer's, a big day at Target Field. Joe Mauer went in the Hall of Fame, and great day, and we're glad to be back with Tech Talk today on the program. Doug, number one, and I hope you're doing well today.
Yes, I really am. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy with Intel. They, in 2019 or 18, I believe it was, they discovered the Scepter and the Meltdown. You know, the press just went wild with this. Well, there's a new variant out, and it's affecting a lot of processors. And Intel has taken some serious heat over this. Their stock has dropped. They're probably going to lay off 15,000 to 19,000 employees. This is going to be big. I think we should keep an eye on this story.
Yeah, and Doug, tell us a little bit more. What is this all about?
Well, the Scepter virus, called a virus, it really isn't a virus, but the new one is called Indirector Exposes Sensitive Data on Your CPU. But here again, I don't think people have too much to worry about other than their PCs slowing down. Now, the Linux community is already addressing this, and hopefully they'll have a preventative fix like they did with Scepter, probably in a couple weeks. In fact, they're talking they might have one already. And Windows and Intel are working on it, but I think that you're going to see one more time, we're going to see AMD chips sales increase by a huge, huge degree. So it's I don't know. Intel's just, they've been different lately, just been a little different.
Yeah, and Doug, it gets back into a word. When anybody gets too big in any business, whatever that is, it kind of goes back to the start of antitrust and Standard Oil, and when that was broken up, and John D. Rockefeller, maybe you learned about it in school or read about it. I think in tech, we rapidly get to a point where these companies get too big and have too much influence. We've talked about Microsoft. I think Google fits into that category. There are other players in this industry. Apple is huge. I don't know if it still holds the crown as the most valuable company in the world.
I believe it does.
So my point being is that competition is a good thing. Fair competition is a good thing. And I believe government does have a role, and governments around the world, in regulating fair competition. There's been a lot of stories lately about Google and the share of the search engine market. that they're still
they're under investigation, by the way, by a federal government.
Well, correct, and that leads to the point where someone needs to police this, and if it's not the federal government, it's governments in Europe or Japan or around the world that need to make sure that these companies are playing by the rules and playing fair.
I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, you know, Google went public and just changed overnight, just drastically. And everybody that's in the tech industry is just going, wait a minute. You know, we expected a little bit of change, but, you know, 3 email accounts for $21 a month? Come on. It's just a little bit out of hand. And the thing with Intel, I think that some of these large companies, they get so large that they really can't shift gears as quick as they need to. And so they kind of lay back and, well, technology this year, we'll just add a little bit here and add a little bit there and play with the numbers. And I think they become complacent thinking that they're going to be number one forever. And that's kind of what happened with Intel. And I think, especially in the tech world, innovation is key. And you got to produce a better product at a lower price. It's just that simple. And it's gonna be interesting to see how this one rolls out.
Yeah, and the story, the lead, if you will, Google has violated U.S. antitrust law with its search business. A federal judge ruled on Monday, handing the tech giant a staggering court defeat with the potential to reshape how millions of Americans get information online and to upend decades of dominance. Because it's become a verb, Google it. And it's so easy and it's so prevalent, but has that created an environment where competitors, it is so difficult to get into that business that's what the regulators are sorting out. And I think that's true. You go back to the greatest example of all, and the first big example of antitrust, and that was Standard Oil, when they broke up Standard Oil 100 years ago or whatever it was, more than 100 years ago now.
Exactly.
And I think we've talked about that with Microsoft, still so dominant when it comes to operating systems. There are other players, and there are other players making inroads, but they're still so tremendously dominant and still so tremendously influential. Is it ultimately good for the public?
Well, I don't think it is. And, you know, we watch this with the telephone companies as well. You know, there were three major telephone companies pretty much controlled by the same group of folks. And when that, well, yes, it created a lot of havoc. But I think that our telephone expenses are a fraction of what they would have been had it been left alone. That's just my feeling. And I think the same thing is happening in the tech world. I agree. I think once a company or a business gets so large, maybe it should just become public domain. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But
by the way, if you have a comment on that, you're certainly welcome to share it here on Tech Talk. But once again, another example of a big player in a little hot water right now with regulators. And if you want to join the show, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Let's go to the phones and bring in John in Plymouth. John, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Thank you. Say, I have a question. My router and my modem are getting old. I've discovered that they're about a tenth of the speed they should be. I'm looking at buying a modem router combination. I've got two questions. One is that I have a passport, Western Digital passport drive that plugs into my router. It's a USB 3 connection. And I'm wondering if the new modem router combination will have anything that'll work with that.
Oh, I don't think that'll be a problem. And in fact, if you got a number of PCs in your network, plug and play will actually attach and display it to the network if it doesn't. But most of them do have an optional USB port, and they're going also with the USB-C, which is faster. If you're looking at this, I'm not certain I would recommend a combination modem slash router. I think I would let my internet service provider, I'd rather rent what's called a router or modem, although it is a router, especially if you've got Xfinity. And I would suggest to you that you take a look at your network and you consider going to Wi-Fi 7. You're going to be kind of future-proof there. And TP-Link has one on sale. Unbelievable. It's a $500 router, and I think it's like $150. And that's at Amazon. Check that out. That is a beautiful router. It'll handle 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, and 6 gigahertz, and it'll take you all the way up to Wi-Fi 7, which is, I think, essential that people start thinking about upgrading to a minimum of Wi-Fi 6E. That's where the security is back in our hands. And so that's important. But I think I'd keep them separate. Generally, I say the less equipment, the better, because you have less points of failure. But in this instance, especially if you got Xfinity, you're going to want to keep them separate. But you when it's time to upgrade, you might as well do it. It'll just make everything run faster and more secure. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, good call. And by the way, if you want to join the program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler. He'll put you through. If you text, that comes right into the studio, and we'll put it right on the air. Doug, let's follow up on that. I have had CenturyLink for a long, long time. Always had the modem slash router, the equipment they provide. It's been upgraded over the years. Every now and then we need to reboot. I had to come home the other day. My youngest daughter still lives at home, works at home most of the time in her full-time job. And she gave me a call and said, we don't have any internet. So I popped home from work, did the old reboot, trained right back up, and away we go. I'm a big believer, and you brought it up before, let's follow up. Whoever your internet service provider is, Xfinity, yeah, CenturyLink, or another provider, I'm a big believer in using their equipment.
Yeah, there's no question. See, that puts the monkey on their back. They, yep, have to have internet into your house. And it's good equipment. Both CenturyLink and Xfinity, when it comes to what they call a modem, which I think it's good to separate, because if you're doing support, you need to know what piece of equipment you're working on. But they're supplying excellent equipment, Steve. Just extraordinary equipment. And for what you pay for rent, I $10 a month or whatever it is, normally they'll make it look like it's free, but you're paying something. It just makes a lot more sense to me. That way, when you're inside your network, you got one device to play with. As long as you can see the internet, you're rolling. I would agree with that. I've been of this mindset for 20 years or more. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, and if you're having problems, it's in their best interest to get it figured out as quickly as possible, because everybody has options now, including that service that starts as a cellular signal, 5G. And the big player right now is T-Mobile. I would assume Verizon and AT&T will jump into that game with both feet. But right now the big player is T-Mobile. And you get something about the size of a coffee pot, you put it somewhere, yep, in your house, and it takes those 5G signals and turns it into Wi-Fi. And you can hardwire into that as well if you want to plug, yep, your computer into it. I have heard good things if it is available in your neighborhood.
Oh, it's all that. I've heard people are tripling and quadrupling their speed and reducing their price, and especially if you're in an outer area. I'm not so certain AT&T is going to pursue this, because as you probably remember, they sold out a number of their accounts to T-Mobile, and I think they actually sold part of the GSM's network as well. It's a big, big business. I'm also looking forward to Starlink just coming out. It might be a little bit higher today, but as more users jump on, the price of that's going to be reduced. Watch and see. Low-level satellites are probably our future, but it's always going to be available on a cable, I think. Cable is so stable. Xfinity, I think, might be a little over inundated, but you know, when they got that type of subscribers, the number, it's just bound to happen back and forth a little bit, so the give and take. But we're all in this together, so we got to be conscious of what we're doing with the internet. And by the way, These internet providers want your internet to run and your network to run as fast as possible. Why? Because as soon as you get done, it frees up resources on their end. I don't know of any internet service provider that is doing throttling of bandwidth or cheating people out of bandwidth. It's not that simple anymore. But I really, really like the equipment that they're putting out. It's just dynamite, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, no doubt. There is just way too much competition for that monthly fee that they want you to pay them. It is 3:21. Mm-hmm. Quick break. We'll come back. Here on Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart's in for the entire hour. Number again, 651-461-9226. It is a lovely Saturday here at News Talk, E3O WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday here at News Talk, E3O WCCO. Twins and Guardians, game three of that four-game series over 3 days at Target Field. Twins won the first two, a doubleheader sweep on Friday, and they're now a game and a half out going into tonight's Hall of Fame game. Once again, Twins Hall of Fame grows by two members. The late Rick Stelmazik and former general manager Terry Ryan will go into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk more about the Twins later on. Right now, Tech Talk continues with Doug. And Doug, before we come up on the weather break here real quick, Pervaser, this always gets a lot of calls and a lot of questions. If you're running a Windows machine, absolute must-have program. Tell us why it's important. Once again, we've talked about it now for a couple of years regularly on the program. Why is Pervaser a must for your computer?
Well, the first thing is, if your computer is slowing down, this is probably the easiest way to clean it up. It won't take long, and it's almost goof-proof. It's just one button after you get it set up. You just hit it and go. The first time you run it, it's going to take a little bit longer because of the drive. But once it goes through that, the next time it's quicker. Next time it's faster yet. Pretty soon it's getting itself done in 15, 20 minutes. Plus, it has this little function that when it's done, it can shut off. So you might want to start it up on Sunday night just before you hit the sheets. And the next morning you'll get up and your computer will be shut down and you'll turn on and it will be optimized to the nines. I love Pervaser. Can't say enough good things about it. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and once again, Pervazer.com. There's a free version. You can buy the pro version. Check it out. But this is a good thing. And once again, if you run Windows, you will be pleased indeed with that. Let's go to the phones. By the way, another caller on our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. This time it's Ken in Circle Pines. Ken, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, Doug. Got a question about a Windows 10 computer, and it saves all the files to OneDrive. I'd like to change that to my Dropbox account. Is that possible?
Yeah, but you want to be cautious with this. You can, on OneDrive, the first thing you got to do is you got to make absolutely certain you got a copy of all your files on your hard drive. And I would recommend a flash drive or an external hard drive as well. Then you can just right-click on the OneDrive icon and go into the settings and stop it from starting when you start Windows and deactivate. And it should be pretty goof-proof. Now, I like the idea of a continuous backup, but OneDrive and Dropbox does this also, by the way. Every keystroke you make, it's going on the internet and it's duplicating your effort. So it is just sucking the bandwidth right out of your internet. It's going to slow your whole internet to run it this way. I suggest that you just work the day, at the end of the day, shoot it up to Dropbox, your changes. And that's pretty simple to set up, too, if you take your time and get it right. And I'm glad to hear you are taking care of your data. I'll give you a great big attaboy there. That's just wonderful. But I'm not a big fan of OneDrive myself. I generally take it off and redo it with something else. So good call. Thank you so much, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, very good call indeed. And if you want to call or text the program, still plenty of time. Take advantage of the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And that's good for all our shows here on CCO. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Quick break. We'll update that weather. It looks good right through the weekend here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. Twins and Guardians tonight on the radio. Twins Hall of Fame night. Former general manager Terry Ryan and bullpen coach Rick Stelmazek, the late Rick Stelmazek, will be honored and take their place in the Twins Hall of Fame. A big ceremony before the ball game, and you'll hear it live here on the home of the Twins. Twins swept the doubleheader yesterday. All right, Doug, from our text line, can I use Pervasor with my computer that has Linux Mint?
No. Pervasor is strictly a Windows program, but there are some cleaners for Linux if you think you need it. I would use some caution. Probably the most popular one, especially if you got a Debian-based machine, Ubuntu or Linux Mint, would be a program called Bleach It. Just like close Bleach and then an IT in the end, no spaces. Just open up your software manager and type in Bleach It in the top and it'll pop right up. And Linux Mint software manager will install it in seconds. And it might help. But just be cautious, because you can become over-aggressive with that program. Linux really doesn't require the type of constant attention that Windows does. It's just the nature of the beast. But there's nothing wrong with keeping it nice and clean. You're better off to probably just take care of your temp files and jump online and figure out how to do a little maintenance. Doesn't take much with Linux. Maybe 5 hours a month, if that. And that's more the just copying your data than anything else. So it's not, don't be afraid. You're not in Windows anymore.
Yeah, and Doug, the thing we have said for years, it is a great idea for older machines that are maybe in good shape. Maybe it's on the shelf. Maybe you don't use that particular desktop or laptop anymore. But it is great to play with. And if you have, once again, an older machine, it's not your primary machine, play around with it. Install Linux on it. It's a great way to keep older equipment running, particularly if you're just going to get online with it and browse, etc.
No doubt. So many people have kept their old machines and played around with Linux and I'm going to just use a guesstimation here, but I'll bet 80% of home users who spend a little time with Linux, they'll say, well, why would I mess around with Windows? And they convert the whole house to Linux. I tell them to make sure they keep a Windows machine going because, well, like you know, Steve, Windows is everywhere in our country, and if you happen to need it, you got to have access to that. So don't get rid of it entirely because it's going to be needed. But Linux is... Well, it is what it is. In fact, I've been playing around with another distribution called Void, V-O-I-D. I think this one's one to keep an eye on. It's built from the ground up. It's based on Debian, but it's its own version of Linux, not reliant on anybody. And I think this one's one to keep track of, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, it is certainly good on an older machine to give it a try and play around with it if you have the time. Just great, especially if you're just looking for an internet appliance, something to get online on an older machine. Here's a good one. Can I install Malwarebytes on a computer with Linux Mint? Kind of a follow-up to the Pervasor. As far as something like Malwarebytes, do you need that running a Linux program?
No. I know there's two other companies that sell antivirus and malware, but The old antivirus for Linux is called Clam AV, just like the ocean clam. That's been a staple, and they keep it up to date. And people who are actually cleaning Windows machines will use Clam AV on a Linux machine to plug the drive in and get it completely clean. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I truly believe that a good distribution of Linux will take better care of itself and don't require any third-party additions, and that might change. We live in a world where I can say something today, but tomorrow it's wrong. So it's but for the time being, I find that Linux just does a much, much better job. And being a secure operating system, it just doesn't, we don't have to put up with a lot of the stuff. Don't get the idea that moving to Linux, life is perfect. We still live in the same world, but it's a lot better. And let's face it, you don't want to spend all your time playing around with a computer. It can make it run. You want to sit down, do your business, and move on. Take the family outside, especially in this weather. Really is well worth your time to investigate. Yeah, I hope that helps.
Yeah. Doug, let's get into a biggie, and I think it's important. We weren't on the air a week ago. Folks, back up your data. We bring this up, and I know people are like, yeah, you know, it's fine. It becomes out of sight, out of mind. Now, if you have a lot of photos and a lot of things on your iPhone and you have it properly configured, it's backing up to an iCloud account. I'm a big believer in it. It had bailed me out big time once. I was visiting my youngest daughter when she was in college down in Arizona. My phone died. It was kaput. And that's in a bad spot to be because you're out of town, you rely on it, contacts, email, you know the story. So I happened to be an AT&T customer, not that it matters. Went to the AT&T store at one of the malls down in Tucson, and they had me a new phone up and running. I was able to get to my iCloud account, and it took a while. It wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't in a minute or 5 minutes, but the restore took a few hours, let's say, to get everything moved over.
You probably had a lot of data too.
But photos and contacts, it wasn't instantaneous. That's the point. But within a few hours, I was up and running. Didn't miss a beat. My point being is you want to be in that situation with your computer. So take our advice. And Doug, you've got a lot of good advice on how to back up. You can pay someone to do it. You can buy a service. You can put it on an external hard drive. Doug, they're so cheap. You go online right now wherever you buy stuff. They're just giving away storage.
Oh, right, indeed. Now. And you know, you brought up a good point too. A lot of people think in their mind, well, we're going to do this, and they have the best of intentions. But backing up or making copies every week, it's generally done the last thing on Friday. And you know Fridays. It's easy to get busy and just, you'll do it Monday morning. Well, come Monday morning, you come to work, and you forget. And this turns into a bad habit. It's week after week after week. It's just, pretty soon, you don't even think about it anymore. That's bad. Got to have the right habits for this thing. And there are ways that you can use your copy and paste so where it's not going to take so long. When I name my files, I always put in front of the file name, I will actually put the year, dash the month, dash the date, and then underscore, and then the file name. So when I come into my Windows Explorer, my file manager, I just sort in a descending manner, and I can see the work that I've changed that week. I just shade those off. Sometimes it's not very many at all. And I copy them over to the external hard drive and shoot them up to the cloud. It's really that simple. You don't have to get too elaborate with it. Just like anything else, just keep it simple. Main thing is having a minimum of 3 copies. 1 workable copy, 1 backup at your disposal in your office, and something out of the office. Up in the cloud or saved at a safety deposit box at the bank. Whatever your strategy. But it is important to do this. And we've mentioned this number of times, Steve. We can replace hardware. We can download new versions of Windows and Linux and all the software that you paid for and put that together in no time at all. What we can't replace is your data. If you lose your pictures, they're gone. And a lot of times this is precious moments that you want to preserve.
Yeah.
So be aware that if it's important data, take care of it.
Yeah. Great, great advice. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. always available to you at 651-461-9226. Let's go to Gordy in Maple Grove. Gordy, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi, guys. I've been thinking about putting Pervasor on my computer, but it says it wants to take over my computer. I'm a little bit concerned about that. Should I be?
I've never heard that. That's kind of unusual. Pervasor is it's not invasive at all. I don't know. I'm not sure. You might want to give me a call next week, preferably in the morning. And I'll see if I can't connect up to you, and we'll see if we can solve it. But Pervasor, it's PRIVAZER.com, and it's public domain. Even if you buy, like Steve says, you buy the professional version, you're actually making a donation, and it isn't a set fee. So yeah, check it out. But I would not be afraid to put that on at all. Almost sounds like you might have some malware that's preventing you from doing this. This is strange. I've never seen that.
Yeah, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. But this one's pretty easy and pretty straightforward to put that on your machine and run the scans and take advantage of it on a weekly basis or thereabouts. 13 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. Quick break. We'll come back. And once again, we'll take more calls and more texts. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. By the way, all the news and weather at 4. Steve Carney will take us outdoors. We'll find out how the bite is right now. He is, by the way, at Game Fair, weekend number one at Game Fair up in Anoka County, as a lot of folks look forward to hunting season already here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk Saturdays between 3 and 4. Pleased to be joined by Doug Swindehart. And before we say goodbye, we'll have Doug's phone number and email. All the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. The Olympic Games winding down in Paris. I'm kind of worn out. I've really enjoyed the Olympics, but I'm worn out. All right, Doug, from our text line, do you have a recommendation for an external backup drive for a MacBook? And if you buy one, I would assume you could format that for a Mac or a PC or whatever.
Well, most of your external drives will just automatically set up for either operating system, a PC or a Mac. In the case of a Linux, you don't even bother with that. You just plug it in and you have access to all the entire drive. But I have always been impartial to Seagate. And I just think, in fact, there's no question in my mind, it's a better product. If you see drives and you're comparing the price to Western Digital or a Death Star or whatever, and that Seagate is $8 or $10 or $12 more, buy the Seagate. It's really, it's that simple. It's just much better equipment. Seagate, a number of years ago, came up with a little process that they stamp on the side of the box. MTBF, mean time between failure rate. And they give you an average of hours that's going to be operational. And with Seagate, it's usually somewhere between 3 and 5 million hours. And the rest of the companies that sell hard drives, they went wild when Seagate did that. And they, to this day, most of them don't print an MTBF on the side. I think all tech equipment should have that. I hope that it happens. And it's just Seagate. Can't say it enough. And with a Mac, I'd make sure and got one that was some similar color and design, and you'll be more than happy. No doubt in my mind.
And Doug, any recommendations as far as the automated backups? I know a couple of people that do that, and they say, in their opinion, the automated backup service, there's Carbonite, there's others that you can pay a monthly service fee, and they'll jump in and back up your files weekly. Mm-hmm. A couple of people I know, they just swear by it and say it's the greatest peace of mind, it's worth every penny.
Oh, absolutely. You got SugarSync, and of course, yep. I think Mosey's actually been bought out now by Carbonite, but they didn't gouge anybody's prices. You got iDrive, which has nothing to do with Apple, and it's just idrive.com.
There's a lot of
great company. Yep. I would say this. I'd say make sure that you're doing business with somebody in the U.S. and preferably the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's just better. You don't have to worry about international laws, but these people have a reputation to maintain. You don't have to worry about the security of your data, have to worry about losing data. They do the job, and they do it well. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, so that is a good one. External hard drives, excellent. I also like the old email trick. I have an old Yahoo account and a Gmail mm-hmm. account. And if I have something I really, really want to hang on to it, I just email it to the other account. Throw the attachment on it.
That's a great procedure. I love that. That's a great habit. I love it.
Yeah, I don't do it for everything, but the absolutely mm-hmm. positively must haves. All right, Doug, we've got to run. Always good to visit with you. Thanks for everyone for participating on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line today. Doug, your phone number and email, how do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. ADMIN at WCCOTECH.com, 651-552-9543. And thanks to all the callers and the techs that contributed to the show today. We had some good ones today, Steve.
Yeah, no doubt. Always a good show. Always good to visit with you, Doug. Enjoy the lovely weather and relax. Get some rest.
Indeed. Indeed. Be well, Steve.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinhart joining us. It is Tech Talk, Saturdays between 3 and 4. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler, our producer on the program. We'll have all the news, all the weather coming up at 4 o'clock. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. The Olympic Games are winding down. More gold being handed out today. The games end on Sunday. And then the countdown to L.A. in 4 years. And then Big Twins Day, Twins Hall of Fame Day. Terry Ryan and the late Rick Stelmazik will be honored at Target Field before the ball game tonight. And it is a big game. Twins and Guardians in Game 3 of that four-game series. Twins just a game and a half out. It's all on the way.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Tech Talk, and we are underway on a gorgeous Saturday in August. How about this weather? Just beautiful. Maybe a little breezy, but other than that, sunny, 71. Our dew point, 50 here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Great day to maybe be outside if you're looking at your laptop. By all means, we have you covered today. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. And here it is, the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. So computer problems, hardware, software, by all means, give us a call. Doug, good to visit with you last week. We're at Joe Mauer's big day at Target Field. Joe Mauer went in the Hall of Fame, and great day, and we're glad to be back with Tech Talk today on the program. Doug, number one, I hope you're doing well today.
Yes, I really am. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy with Intel. They in 2019 or 18, I believe it was, they discovered the scepter and the meltdown. You know, the press just went wild with this. Well, there's a new variant out, and it's affecting a lot of processors. And Intel has taken some serious heat over this. Their stock has dropped. They're probably going to lay off 15 to 19,000 employees. This is going to be big. I think we should keep an eye on this story.
Yeah, and Doug, tell us a little bit more. What is this all about?
Well, the Scepter virus, or called a virus, it really isn't a virus, but the new one is called Indirector Exposes Sensitive Data on Your CPU. But here again, I don't think people have too much to worry about other than their PCs slowing down. Now, the Linux community is already addressing this, and hopefully they'll have a preventative fix like they did with Scepter. Probably in a couple weeks. In fact, they're talking they might have one already. And Windows and Intel are working on it, but I think that you're going to see one more time, we're going to see AMD chips sales increase by a huge, huge degree. So it's, I don't know. Intel's just, they've been different lately, just been a little different.
Yeah, and Doug, it gets back into a word. When anybody gets too big in any business, whatever that is, it kind of goes back to the start of antitrust and Standard Oil, and when that was broken up, and John D. Rockefeller, maybe you learned about it in school or read mm-hmm. about it. I think in tech, we rapidly get to a point where these companies get too big and have too much influence. We've talked about Microsoft. I think Google fits into that category. There are other players in this industry. Apple is huge. I don't know if it still holds the crown as the most valuable company in the world.
I believe it does.
So my point being is that competition is a good thing. Fair competition is a good thing, and I believe government does have a role, and governments around the world, in regulating fair competition. There's been a lot of stories lately about Google and the share of the search engine market.
They're under investigation, by the way, by a federal government.
Well, correct. And that leads to the point where someone needs to police this. And if it's not the federal government, it's governments in Europe or Japan or around the world that need to make sure that these companies are playing by the rules and playing fair.
I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, you know, Google went public and just changed overnight, just drastically. And everybody that's in the tech industry is just going, wait a minute. You know, we expected a little bit of change, but, you know, 3 email accounts for $21 a month? Come on. It's just a little bit out of hand. And the thing with Intel, I think that some of these large companies, they get so large that they really can't shift gears as quick as they need to. And so they kind of lay back and, well, technology this year, we'll just add a little bit here and add a little bit there and play with the numbers. And I think they become complacent thinking that they're going to be number one forever. And that's kind of what happened with Intel. And I think, especially in the tech world, innovation is key. And you got to produce a better product at a lower price. It's just that simple. And it's going to be interesting to see how this one rolls out.
Yeah, and the story, the lead, if you will, Google has violated U.S. antitrust law with its search business. A federal judge ruled on Monday, handing the tech giant a staggering court defeat with the potential to reshape how millions of Americans get information online and to upend decades of dominance. Because it's become a verb. Google it. And it's so easy and it's so prevalent, but has that created an environment where competitors, it is so difficult to get into that business that's what the regulators are sorting out. And I think that's true. You go back to the greatest example of all and the first big example of antitrust, and that was Standard Oil when they broke up Standard Oil, 100 years ago or whatever it was, more than 100 years ago now.
Exactly.
And I think we've talked about that with Microsoft. Still so dominant. when it becomes to operating systems, there are other players, and there are other players making inroads, but they're still so tremendously dominant and still so tremendously influential. Is it ultimately good for the public?
Well, I don't think it is. And, you know, we watch this with the telephone companies as well. You know, there were three major telephone companies pretty much controlled by the same group of folks. And when that, well, yes, it created a lot of havoc. But I think that our telephone expenses are a fraction of what they would have been had it been left alone. That's just my feeling. And I think the same thing is happening in the tech world. I agree. I think once a company or a business gets so large, maybe it should just become public domain. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But
by the way, if you have a comment on that, you're certainly welcome to share it here on Tech Talk. But once again, another example of a big player in a little hot water right now with regulators. And if you want to join the show, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Let's go to the phones and bring in John in Plymouth. John, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Thank you. Say, I have a question. My router and my modem are getting old. I've discovered that they're about a tenth of the speed they should be. I'm looking at buying a modem router combination. I've got two questions. One is that I have a passport, Western Digital passport drive that plugs into my router. It's a USB 3 connection. And I'm wondering if the new modem router combination will have anything that'll work with that.
Oh, I don't think that'll be a problem. And in fact, if you got a number of PCs in your network, plug and play will actually attach and display it to the network if it doesn't. But most of them do have an optional USB port, and they're going also with the USB-C, which is faster. If you're looking at this, I'm not certain I would recommend a combination modem/router. I think I would let my internet service provider, I'd rather rent what's called a router or modem, although it is a router, especially if you've got Xfinity. And I would suggest to you that you take a look at your network and you consider going to Wi-Fi 7. You're going to be kind of future-proof there. And TP-Link has one on sale. Unbelievable. It's a $500 router, and I think it's like $150. And that's at Amazon. Check that out. That is a beautiful router. It'll handle 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, and 6 gigahertz, and it'll take you all the way up to Wi-Fi 7, which is, I think, essential that people start thinking about upgrading to a minimum of Wi-Fi 6E. That's where the security is back in our hands. And so that's important, but I think I'd keep them separate. Generally, I say the less equipment, the better, because you have less points of failure. But in this instance, especially if you got Xfinity, you're going to want to keep them separate. But when it's time to upgrade, you might as well do it. It'll just make everything run faster and more secure. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, good call. And by the way, if you want to join the program, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with Josh Wheeler. He'll put you through. If you text, that comes right into the studio, and we'll put it right on the air. Doug, let's follow up on that. I have had CenturyLink for a long, long time. Always had the modem/router, the equipment they provide. It's been upgraded over the years. Every now and then we need to reboot. I had to come home the other day. My youngest daughter still lives at home, works at home most of the time in her full-time job. And she gave me a call and said, we don't have any internet. So I popped home from work, did the old reboot, trained right back up, and away we go. I'm a big believer, and you brought it up before, let's follow up. Whoever your internet service provider is, Xfinity, yeah, CenturyLink, or another provider, I'm a big believer in using their equipment.
Yeah, there's no question. See, that puts the monkey on their back. They have to have internet into your house. And it's good equipment. both CenturyLink and Xfinity, when it comes to what they call a modem, which I think it's good to separate, because if you're doing support, you need to know what piece of equipment you're working on. But they're supplying excellent equipment, Steve, just extraordinary equipment. And for what you pay for rent, I $10 a month or whatever it is, normally they'll make it look like it's free, but you're paying something. It just makes a lot more sense to me. That way, when you're inside your network, you got one device to play with. As long as you can see the internet, you're rolling. I would agree with that. I've been of this mindset for 20 years or more. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, and if you're having problems, it's in their best interest to get it figured out as quickly as possible, because everybody has options now, including that service that starts as a cellular signal, 5G. And the big player right now is T-Mobile. I would assume Verizon and AT&T will jump into that game with both feet. But right now the big player is T-Mobile. And you get something about the size of a coffee pot, you put it somewhere in your house, and it takes those 5G signals and turns it into Wi-Fi. And you can hardwire into that as well if you want to plug your computer into it. I have heard good things if it is available in your neighborhood.
Oh, it's all right. I heard people are tripling and quadrupling their speed and reducing their price, and especially if you're in an outer area. I'm not so certain AT&T is going to pursue this, because as you probably remember, they sold out a number of their accounts to T-Mobile, and I think they actually sold part of the GSM's network as well. It's a big, big business. I'm also looking forward to Starlink just coming out. It might be a little bit higher today, but as more users jump on, the price of that's going to be reduced. Watch and see. Low-level satellites are probably our future, but it's always going to be available on a cable, I think. Cable is so stable. Xfinity, I think, might be a little over inundated, but you know, when they've got that type of subscribers, the number, it's just bound to happen back and forth a little bit, so give and take. But we're all in this together, so we got to be conscious of what we're doing with the internet. And by the way, these internet providers want your internet to run and your network to run as fast as possible. Why? Because as soon as you get done, it frees up resources on their end. I don't know of any internet service provider that is doing throttling of bandwidth or cheating people out of bandwidth. It's not that simple anymore. But I really, really like the equipment that they're putting out. It's just dynamite, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, no doubt. There is just way too much competition for that monthly fee that they want you to pay them. It is 3:21. Mm-hmm. Quick break. We'll come back here on Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart's in for the entire hour. Number again, 651-461-9226. It is a lovely Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins and Guardians, Game 3 of that four-game series over 3 days at Target Field. Twins won the first two, a doubleheader sweep on Friday, and they're now a game and a half out going into tonight's Hall of Fame game. Once again, Twins Hall of Fame grows by two members. The late Rick Stelmazek and former general manager Terry Ryan will go into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk more about the Twins later on. Right now, Tech Talk continues with Doug. And Doug, before we come up on the weather break here real quick, Prevazor, this always gets a lot of calls and a lot of questions. If you're running a Windows machine, absolute must-have program. Tell us why it's important. Once again, we've talked about it now for a couple of years regularly on the program. Why is Prevazor a must for your computer?
Well, the first thing is if your computer is slowing down, this is probably the easiest way to clean it up. It won't take long, and it's almost goof-proof. It's just one button after you get it set up. You just hit it and go. The first time you run it, it's going to take a little bit longer because of the drive. But once it goes through that, the next time it's quicker. Next time it's faster yet. Pretty soon it's getting itself done in 15, 20 minutes. Plus, it has this little function that when it's done, it can shut off. So you might want to start it up on Sunday night, just before you hit the sheets. And the next morning you'll get up, and your computer will be shut down, and you'll turn on, and it will be optimized to the nines. I love Pervasor. Can't say enough good things about it. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and once again, Pervazer.com. There's a free version. You can buy the pro version. Check it out. But this is a good thing. And once again, if you run Windows, you will be pleased indeed with that. Let's go to the phones. By the way, another caller on our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. This time it's Ken in Circle Pines. Ken, you're on the air with Doug.
Hi, Doug. Got a question about a Windows 10 computer. And it saves all the files to OneDrive. I'd like to change that to my Dropbox account. Is that possible?
Yeah, but you want to be cautious with this. You can, on OneDrive, the first thing you got to do is you got to make absolutely certain you got a copy of all your files on your hard drive. And I would recommend a flash drive or an external hard drive as well. Then you can just right-click on the OneDrive icon and go into the settings and stop it from starting when you start Windows and deactivate. And it should be pretty goof-proof. Now, I like the idea of a continuous backup, but OneDrive and Dropbox does this also, by the way. Every keystroke you make, it's going on the internet and it's duplicating your effort. So it is just sucking the bandwidth right out of your internet. It's going to slow your whole internet to run it this way. I suggest that you just work the day, at the end of the day, shoot it up to Dropbox, your changes. And that's pretty simple to set up, too, if you take your time and get it right. And I'm glad to hear you are taking care of your data. I'll give you a great big attaboy there. That's just wonderful. But I'm not a big fan of OneDrive myself. I generally take it off and redo it with something else. So good call. Thank you so much, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, very good call indeed. And if you want to call or text the program, still plenty of time. Take advantage of the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. And that's good for all our shows here on CCO. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Quick break, we'll update that weather. It looks good right through the weekend here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. Twins and Guardians tonight on the radio. Twins Hall of Fame night. Former general manager Terry Ryan and bullpen coach Rick Stelmazek, the late Rick Stelmazek, will be honored and take their place in the Twins Hall of Fame. A big ceremony before the ball game, and you'll hear it live here on the home of the Twins. Twins swept the doubleheader yesterday. All right, Doug, from our text line, can I use Pervasor with my computer that has Linux Mint?
No, Pervasor is strictly a Windows program. But there are some cleaners for Linux if you think you need it. I would use some caution. Probably the most popular one, especially if you've got a Debian-based machine, Ubuntu or Linux Mint, would be a program called Bleach It. Just like close Bleach and then an IT in the end, no spaces. Just open up your software manager and type in Bleach It in the top and it'll pop right up. And Linux Mint Software Manager will install it in seconds, and it might help, but just be cautious because you can become over-aggressive with that program. Linux really doesn't require the type of constant attention that Windows does. It's just the nature of the beast, but there's nothing wrong with keeping it nice and clean. You're better off to probably just take care of your temp files and jump online and figure out how to do a little maintenance. Doesn't take much with Linux. Maybe 5 hours a month, if that. And that's more the just copying your data than anything else. So it's not, don't be afraid. You're not in Windows anymore.
Yeah, and Doug, the thing we have said for years, it is a great idea for older machines that are maybe in good shape. Maybe it's on the shelf. Maybe you don't use that particular desktop or laptop anymore. But it is great to play with. And if you have, once again, an older machine, it's not your primary machine, play around with it. Install Linux on it. It's a great way to keep older equipment running, particularly if you're just going to get online with it and browse, etc.
No doubt. So many people have kept their old machines and played around with Linux, and I'm going to just use a guesstimation here, but I'll bet 80% of home users who spend a little time with Linux, they'll say, well, why would I mess around with Windows? They're just, and they convert the whole house to Linux. I tell them to make sure they keep a Windows machine going because, well, like you know, Steve, Windows is everywhere in our country, and if you happen to need it, you got to have access to that. So don't get rid of it entirely because it's going to be needed. But Linux is, well, it is what it is. In fact, I've been playing around with another distribution called Void, V-O-I-D. I think this one's one to keep an eye on. It's built from the ground up. It's based on Debian, but it's its own version of Linux, not reliant on anybody. And I think this one's one to keep track of, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, it is certainly good on an older machine to give it a try and play around with it if you have the time. Just great, especially if you're just looking for an Internet appliance, something to get online on an older machine. Here's a good one. Can I install Malwarebytes on a computer with Linux Mint? Kind of a follow-up to the Pervasor. As far as something like Malwarebytes, do you need that running a Linux program?
No. I know there's two other companies that sell antivirus and malware, but the old antivirus for Linux is called Clam AV, just like the ocean clam. That's been a staple, and they keep it up to date. And people who are actually cleaning Windows machines will use Clam AV on a Linux machine to plug the drive in and get it completely clean. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I truly believe that a good distribution of Linux will take better care of itself and don't require any third-party additions, and that might change. So we live in a world where I can say something today, but tomorrow it's wrong. So it's but for the time being, I find that Linux just does a much, much better job, and being a secure operating system, it just doesn't, we don't have to put up with a lot of the stuff. Don't get the idea that moving to Linux, life is perfect. We still live in the same world, but it's a lot better. And let's face it, you don't want to spend all your time playing around with a computer to make it run. You want to sit down, do your business, and move on. Take the family outside, especially in this weather. It's well worth your time to investigate. Yeah, I hope that helps.
Yeah. Doug, let's get into a biggie. And I think it's important we weren't on the air a week ago. Mm-hmm. Folks, back up your data. We bring this up, and I know people are like, yeah, you know, it's fine. It becomes out of sight, out of mind. Now, if you have a lot of photos and a lot of things on your iPhone and you have it properly configured, it's backing up to an iCloud account. I'm a big believer in it. It bailed me out big time once. I was visiting my daughter, my youngest daughter, when she was in college down in Arizona. My phone died. It was kaput, and that's in a bad spot to be because you're out of town, you rely on it, contacts, email, you know the story. So I happened to be an AT&T customer, not that it matters, went to the AT&T store at one of the malls down in Tucson, and they had me a new phone up and running. I was able to get to my iCloud account, and it took a while. It wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't in a minute or 5 minutes, but the restore took a few hours, let's say, to get everything moved over.
You probably had a lot of data too.
But photos and contacts, it wasn't instantaneous. That's the point.
Didn't lose one. Yeah.
But within a few hours, I was up and running, didn't miss a beat. My point being is you want to be in that situation with your computer. So take our advice. And, Doug, you've got a lot of good advice on how to back up. You can pay someone to do it. You can buy a service. You can put it on an external hard drive. Doug, they're so cheap. You go online right now wherever you buy stuff. They're just giving away storage.
Oh, right, indeed. Now. And, you know, you brought up a good point, too. A lot of people think in their mind, well, we're going to do this, and they have the best of intentions. But backing up or making copies every week, it's generally done the last thing on Friday. And you know Fridays. It's easy to get busy and just, well, you'll do it Monday morning. Well, come Monday morning, you come to work, and you forget. And this turns into a bad habit. It's week after week after week. It just, pretty soon you don't even think about it anymore. That's bad. Got to have the right habits for this thing. And there are ways that you can use your copy and paste so where it's not going to take so long. When I name my files, I always put in front of the file name, I will actually put the year, dash the month, dash the date, and then underscore, and then the file name. So when I come into my Windows Explorer, my file manager, I just sort in a descending manner, and I can see the work that I've changed that week. I just shade those off. Sometimes it's not very many at all. And I copy them over to the external hard drive and shoot them up to the cloud. It's really that simple. You don't have to get too elaborate with it. Just like anything else, just keep it simple. Main thing is having a minimum of three copies. One workable copy, one backup at your disposal in your office, and something out of the office, up in the cloud or saved at a safety deposit box at the bank, whatever your strategy. But it is important to do this. And we've mentioned this a number of times, Steve. We can replace hardware. We can download new versions of Windows and Linux and all the software that you paid for and put that together in no time at all. What we can't replace is your data. If you lose your pictures, they're gone. And a lot of times, this is precious moments that you want to preserve.
Yeah.
So be aware that if it's important data, take care of it.
Yeah. Great, great advice. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line always available to you at 651-461-9226. Let's go to Gordy in Maple Grove. Gordy, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi, guys. I've been thinking about putting Pervasor on my computer, but it says it wants to take over my computer. I'm a little bit concerned about that. Should I be?
I've never heard that. That's kind of unusual. Pervasor is, it's not invasive at all. I don't know. I'm not sure. You might want to give me a call next week, preferably in the morning. I'll see if I can't connect up to you and we'll see if we can solve it. But Pervasor, it's PRIVAZER.com. And it's public domain. Even if you buy, like Steve says, you buy the professional version, you're actually making a donation, and it isn't a set fee. Check it out. But I would not be afraid to put that on at all. Almost sounds like you might have some malware that's preventing you from doing this. This is strange. I've never seen that.
Yeah, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. But this one's pretty easy and pretty straightforward to put that on your machine and run the scans and take advantage of it on a weekly basis or thereabouts. 13 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. Quick break. We'll come back. And once again, we'll take more calls and more texts. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. By the way, all the news and weather at 4. Steve Carney will take us outdoors. We'll find out how the bite is right now. He is, by the way, at Game Fair, weekend number one at Game Fair up in Anoka County, as a lot of folks look forward to hunting season already here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk Saturdays between 3 and 4. Pleased to be joined by Doug Swindehart. And before we say goodbye, we'll have Doug's phone number and email. All the news at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. The Olympic Games winding down in Paris. I'm kind of worn out. I've really enjoyed the Olympics, but I'm worn out. All right, Doug, from our text line, do you have a recommendation for an external backup drive for a MacBook? And if you buy one, I would assume you could format that for a Mac or a PC or whatever.
Well, most of your external drives will just automatically set up for either operating system, a PC or a Mac. In the case of a Linux, you don't even bother with that. You just plug it in and you have access to all the entire drive. But I have always been impartial to Seagate. And I just think, well, in fact, there's no question in my mind, it's a better product. If you see drives and you're comparing the price to Western Digital or a Death Star or whatever, and that Seagate is $8 or $10 or $12 more, buy the Seagate. It's really, it's that simple. It's just much better equipment. Seagate, a number of years ago, came up with a little process that they stamp on the side of the box. MTBF, mean time between failure rate. And they give you an average of hours that's going to be operational. And with Seagate, it's usually somewhere between 3 and 5 million hours. And the rest of the companies that sell hard drives, they went wild when Seagate did that. And they, to this day, most of them don't print an MTBF on the side. I think all tech equipment should have that. I hope that it happens. And it just, Seagate, Seagate, Seagate. Can't say it enough. And with a Mac, I'd make sure and got one that was some similar color and design, and you'll be more than happy. No doubt in my mind.
And Doug, any recommendations as far as the automated backups? I know a couple of people that do that, and they say, in their opinion, the automated backup service, there's Carbonite, there's others that you can pay a monthly service fee, and they'll jump in and back up your files weekly. Mm-hmm. A couple of people I know, they just swear by it and say it's the greatest peace of mind, it's worth every penny.
Oh, absolutely. You got SugarSync, and of course, yep. I think Mozy's actually been bought out now by Carbonite, but they didn't gouge anybody's prices. You got iDrive, which has nothing to do with Apple, and it's just iDrive.com.
There's a lot of
great company. Yep. I would say this. I'd say make sure that you're doing business with somebody in the U.S. and preferably the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's just better. You don't have to worry about international laws, but these people have a reputation to maintain. You don't have to worry about the security of your data, have to worry about losing data. They do the job, and they do it well. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, so that is a good one. External hard drives, excellent. I also like the old email trick. I have an old Yahoo account and a Gmail mm-hmm. account. And if I have something I really, really want to hang on to it, I just email it to the other account. Throw the
That's a great procedure. I love that. That's a great habit. I love it.
Yeah, I don't do it for everything, but the absolutely mm-hmm. positively must-haves. All right, Doug, we've got to run. Always good to visit with you. Thanks for everyone for participating on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line today. Doug, your phone number and email, how do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. ADMIN at WCCOTECH.com, 651-552-9543. And thanks to all the callers and the techs that contributed to the show today. We had some good ones today, Steve.
Yeah, no doubt. Always a good show. Always good to visit with you, Doug. Enjoy the lovely weather and relax. Get some rest.
Indeed. Indeed. Be well, Steve.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinehart joining us. It is Tech Talk, Saturdays between 3 and 4. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler, our producer on the program. We'll have all the news, all the weather coming up at 4 o'clock. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. The Olympic Games are winding down. More gold being handed out today. The games end on Sunday. And then the countdown to L.A. in 4 years. And then Big Twins Day, Twins Hall of Fame Day. Terry Ryan and the late Rick Stelmazik will be honored at Target Field before the ball game tonight. And it is a big game. Twins and Guardians in Game 3 of that 4-game series. Twins just a game and a half out. It's all on the way.